Sarah Wood Variety Hour, brought to you by Caffeine and Sarcasm.
Hey, this is Sarah Wood, and first of all, I want to give a shout out to all those suffering from wind cancer. It's a true and debilitating disease, and we should all be wary of the wind. It's everywhere. We really can't control it. It's an epidemic. I don't know what we're going to do about it, but I just want everyone to know that I'm thinking about them and we will get through this. Now, in trying to think about what I was going to discuss today on the podcast, I was thinking, I'm really extraordinarily tired of talking about how shitty a lot of these male candidates are. Now, don't get me wrong. Not every aspect about them is completely shitty. But what we are focusing on in the media are their shitty aspects. For instance, Joe Biden and his inability to understand a woman's boundaries. And he doesn't do it maliciously, but he tends to get very close and very touchy-feely. And no woman has said that he sexually assaulted them, but he doesn't seem to know his boundaries. And then when he starts to make a speech, the first thing he does is come out and say, oh, by the way, I got permission to hug her. Yeah, that's not a joke really appropriate for the times, nor the week you've had, nor is this an episode of Mad Men. But people definitely laughed, which is just really sad and awful. I got permission to hug her. And the guys are like, you got permission to hug her. That's a funny joke, because we've been talking about how inappropriate men are to women all this time. And now we're, oh, you got permission to hug her. Let's make a joke out of it. It's so funny. It's not funny. It's never funny. But it's just so interesting. We're talking about how all the stuff with Joe Biden, everything that's been going on with Bernie Sanders and how he keeps saying he's going to release his tax returns, but then doesn't release his tax returns. And let's not forget about Bernie Sanders' rape essays. I just want to throw that out there. It's still a little bit alarming to me that no one's actually talking about that in this whole Me Too movement. They're just kind of like glossing over the fact that, oh, hey, one of the most popular presidential candidates used to write rape fantasy essays. But I digress, because that's getting away from my point. That Bernie Sanders has not released his taxes, even though he says, oh, I'll do it soon. I'm going to do it soon. When are you going to release your taxes, Bernie? Soon. I got to do it soon. Well, okay. Well, when is soon? You said soon 4 years ago, and you still haven't. But I'm going to do it soon. All right, Bernie. You'll do it soon. All right. That sounds good. And then we have the young up-and-comers who are very popular, Pete Buttigieg and Beto O'Rourke. Justifiably so. They are very good candidates. They are both white men. That's pretty obvious. It's one of those things that you see with your eyes. But I can't help but also notice with my eyes and ears that we're not talking about the female candidates. Like, at all. We're not talking about them. They're not in the media. We're talking about how popular Beto and Buttigieg are and how disconcerting Biden is and how annoying Bernie is and every other B name there is out there. Bernie, Biden, Buttigieg, Beto. But we're not talking about the women. Where is this conversation? We have, for the Democratic Party, some of the most qualified women candidates ever running to be president of the United States. Like, we don't just have one good candidate that we're like, oh, let's put our support behind them and they could be president. No, we have Kamala Harris. We have Elizabeth Warren. We have Kirsten Gillibrand. We have Amy Klobuchar. No, Tulsi is not on that list. And she's not on that list because she's a sack of poo. She sides with treasonous adversaries. Just saying, not so happy with the Tulsi Gabbard. But anyway, we have all these really great women running, and we're not talking about them And we should be talking about them because they're talking about policy. They're talking about the things we need to be doing to make this country a better place to live in. They're talking about the things we need to do to make this country a better place to live in. We're not talking about how popular they are. Oh, he's so popular. Popular. No, we're literally just like glossing over all these amazing women in favor of, I'm going to say it because it's what I say, mediocre white men. I'm sorry. That's what I see. It's like that SNL skit from this past week where they had, where they were showing the female astronaut with all these qualifications, saying how amazing she is, how many missions she has gone on, how wonderful she is, how overly qualified she is, but they didn't have a flight suit to fit her in so she couldn't go on her spacewalk. So they have her, they list all these qualifications about how wonderful she is and how many qualifications the other woman is who's on the spacewalk, and then they have the male astronaut go, and I'm Nick. That's how I feel when I look at a lot of these male presidential candidates. Not that they're not qualified at all, because they have their own qualifications. They've been in politics. They have an amazing education. They appeal to a lot of people. I'm not bad-mouthing them per se as saying, oh, they're absolutely not qualified to run for president. All I'm saying is, compared to the women that are running to be president, no, not so qualified, not nearly as qualified. Just saying it, I'm just putting it out there. And then there's Tim Ryan from Ohio, whose claim to fame is running up against Nancy Pelosi to try to be Speaker of the House and losing. That's his claim to fame. That's what we know him for. Him thinking, I could be better than this woman. And this is a guy who was pro-life up until a few years ago. He was pro-NRA up until a couple years ago. And there are many that are going to say, oh, well, he'll appeal to both sides. He'll appeal to Trump voters. No one is going to appeal to Trump voters. The hard and true Trump voters are going to vote for Trump. They're not going to vote for people trying to appeal to them. They're not. They're not going to switch their vote. That's not something that's going to happen. They're going to vote for Trump. Stop trying to appeal to Trump voters, these hard and true people who are like in it to win it for Trump, have been from the whole time. Like, don't bother trying to appeal to them. It's fucking insulting to our intelligence, and it really gets on my last nerve. But can we please start focusing on these female candidates who are extraordinary, extraordinarily qualified, extraordinarily intelligent? They're doing the work. They're getting it done. As I've said, people are going to come after me for bad-mouthing Bernie, but I don't really care. I look at Elizabeth Warren, and I see someone who says a lot of the same things Bernie Sanders says, but then actually does it. She actually gets the job done. She was hired to go after the banks. She was hired to do Wall Street reform. She did it. She didn't just talk about the millionaires and the billionaires, and we're gonna go after the 1%. Bernie, where are your taxes? For all we know, you are the 1%. So until you show us your taxes, maybe stop talking, please. But the millionaires, I don't care right now about the millionaires. I want to know who is going to make sure we don't fall apart as a nation. Like, who's that person gonna be? Now there's gonna be the guys, likely named Chad, who are going to come at me and be like, you're just using identity politics. You're only going to vote for a woman because they're a woman. So the fuck, what if I am? I want a woman president. We've only had male presidents, and I'm over it. I'm frankly over it. I mean, we want change in this country. Maybe that's the change we need. Other countries are doing it around the world. Maybe it's our turn. But back to identity politics. Identity politics is a term that was originally used as a positive, but then co-opted by the alt-right, and now is utilized by the ultra-left to embolden their own racism and misogyny. They use it as an excuse to be like, oh, you're just using identity politics. You're just focusing on their gender and race. No. When you say identity politics and you're using it as a negative, It's basically about telling women and people of color to sit down and shut up. That's basically what you're saying. You don't want to hear what we have to say about the struggles in our lives that have formed the way we think and how we feel about policy and how we should move forward as a nation. You're basically saying, oh no, you don't need to talk about that. We don't need to talk about that. We should be talking about the economy. We should be talking about this. We should be talking about that. And the second we want to talk about something that's very important to us, like the policies that affect us as women and the policies that affect people of color and the policies that affect transgender individuals. Yeah, that's not identity politics. That's our identity. And we're in it. And it is political. It is absolutely political. And we're going to talk about it. And if you want to tell us to sit down and shut up because you're uncomfortable talking about it, because it makes you look like you're not as important or as special, then maybe you're the first person that really needs to hear it.
No, let's just talk about the economy.
Well, you can't talk about the economy without talking about things that affect women like the wage gap. How a man can be hired for $70,000 and a woman hired for $65,000 for the same exact job. And then they both get 5% raises. Then the man makes this much amount more and the woman makes this much amount more. Now they both got raises, but then as that 5% raise goes on over the years, the men just keep making more and more and more and more and more than the woman. That's the wage gap. What we want is for women and men who are hired for the same role to get the same amount of money. It's not a hard concept to get your head wrapped around, but maybe it is for some who think, oh, we're just gonna start giving women stuff. You mean like men have been just given stuff their entire life? And sure, but that's an exaggeration. I haven't experienced that in my life. Well, I'm glad you're wrapped up in your world. Now, let's welcome to everyone else's. That's what I find most remarkable about a lot of this anti-woman sentiment is that if men don't feel it exists, then in their own mind, it doesn't exist. And that's the only opinion that matters. It's like they're not willing to look at the fact that women are telling them what's actually going on in their lives. It's that they're so uncomfortable and so not willing to look at the truth that they're like, oh, no, that's not what happens. That's not what happens. It's like they're not willing to admit that they've had a hand up and a hand out their entire life. But it is what it is. And it's something that needs to be discussed. And it's something that female candidates can bring to it because they've experienced it. And I'm not going to sit here and badmouth all the male candidates. I don't particularly want a male candidate. And it's more than just the point that they're men. I just believe that the women are actually more qualified. And I do want a woman president. I think Kamala Harris is more qualified than Pete Buttigieg. I think Elizabeth Warren is more qualified than Bernie Sanders. These are just facts. So I think Joe Biden is qualified. I do think he's qualified, but he also has a pretty shit record when you actually look at it. He's good old Uncle Joe, and we all love him, and he was President Obama's vice president. But Biden was also the guy that was known for making a lot of blunders and saying the wrong thing all the time. And we're just like, oh, that's just good old Joe. He says the things that a lot of people want to say but can't say, like that the Affordable Care Act is a big fucking deal. That's a big fucking deal. And it is. And people will laugh it off. And Obama laughed it off. And everyone laughed it off. But when then you have the guy that's saying all these really awful verbal blunders as the actual president, maybe that's not a great idea. Maybe it's not a great idea to have the guy who is in charge of the Anita Hill hearing with Clarence Thomas and who did such injustice for Anita Hill to be running for president during the Me Too movement. And he even says, he's like, I should have done more for her. You could have done more for her. You were in charge of it. But here I am, and I don't want to focus in on all the other Democratic candidates that I don't like, because we have bigger fish to fry, and the bigger fish is named Donald John Trump. And as he talks about Biden, you know, and how Biden makes women uncomfortable, it's like, maybe sit this one out. Maybe sit this one out, Trump, considering you have over 20 women who have said that you assaulted them. Maybe sit this one out because you've publicly been recorded saying you will grab women by the pussy because you're famous and you feel that you can because you're famous. Maybe sit this one out. Maybe this isn't the conversation for you to be having. Just maybe. Maybe don't talk about that particular thing. Maybe don't talk about anything in general. Honestly, if that man were just to shut up and just sit in the White House for the next year and a half, I would be like, well, he's there, but at least he's not talking. I think that would be ideal. It would be ideal if he wasn't there at all and he got impeached, but that's probably not going to happen. I just want peace. I just want, and I'm not talking world peace, although who doesn't want world peace? I just want to wake up in the morning and not have to think about the fact that a racist misogynist is in the Oval Office. That's really all I want. I want to know that the person who is leading this country and representing all of us isn't an asshole. I mean, I don't think that's a lot to ask for. Just not an asshole. Which, to be honest, any of the Democratic candidates, any of them, sans Tulsi, any of the candidates, sans Tulsi, could give me that piece. Now, I don't particularly want Bernie Sanders. He's not the candidate for me. But if he were elected, and if he won the general election, as so many Bernie supporters love to tell me he can do, I'd be like, all right, he's not a complete asshole. This is good. I can have peace. I can just move on with my life and not have to feel that I'm in a constant battle every day. And I'm told all the time, Sarah, you don't need to constantly battle and constantly voice your opinion and constantly be mad at what's going on. You can just go on and move on with your life and do other things and have peace that way. Do you know how privileged that sounds? That someone can say, oh, you can just do other things. You don't have to think about all of that. If I'm not going to think about it, then who is? That's the mentality I think about. That's the mentality I go with. Because if all of us were like, well, yeah, we could just give up and walk away and let Trump just do what he's going to do. And then we just vote in the election and call it a day. Sure, we could do that. We could just not fight back. We could just not be vocal. We could just not protest. Sure, that would be easy. And I'm sure for people who have that mentality and just do move on with their lives as though nothing matters because they live in such a privileged bubble that they can do that. Okay, go for it. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to fight back. I'm going to fight back with everything I can do. I'm going to protest. I'm going to resist. I'm going to speak up. I'm going to say something. Stop telling people who are fighting every day, and you might see them on Facebook or on Twitter or even on Instagram posting political stuff, and you're like, oh, that person. Oh, that person has just, they're always saying something. They're such a feminist. They're such a leftist. They just always have something to say. Let's just post pictures of puppies and kids and let's move on. There's nothing I would like more than to post puppies and kids and move on. But we're not going to be able to do that until Trump is out of the Oval Office. And even then, there's still going to be Republicans in office who are going to fight to strip away my rights as a woman, my rights as a queer individual, your rights, everyone's rights. Pretty much anyone's rights except for a Christian, heterosexual, white, cisgendered man. If you're not a Christian, heterosexual, white, cisgendered man, you're fucked. You're totally fucked if you vote Republican. The only people in this country who should be Republican the way they pulled their platform are Christian, heterosexual, white, cisgendered men. I don't get it. And maybe it's a thing where it's been, I know in Southern Baptist faith, it's very embedded in people's minds that women can't lead and that women take a second seat. And when you're raised in that environment where you think that that is the way of life, maybe that's why you vote the way you vote. Sure, I get that. I personally get that because I was raised in a very religious home and I even voted for a Republican a couple times. But then I educated myself. I was liberally indoctrinated, which I just call an education. and came to my senses and went, well, I'm not going to vote against my best interests anymore. So the focus we need to have is winning in 2020, beating Trump, getting control of the Senate, turning the Senate blue, keeping the House blue, making sure Trump isn't able to appoint any more Supreme Court justices, because that would completely switch the Supreme Court in favor of conservatives. And we're all fucked if that happens. We're about 40 days from Handmaid's Tale if that happens. But I do have this request of the media. As a woman who wants a woman president, who sees amazing women running to be president, can we put a little bit of focus on how amazing they are? Can we maybe talk about Elizabeth Warren traveling to every single state? Can we maybe talk about Kamala Harris, who is my choice, but you know, I'm literally like, I want a woman. I would be happy with Kirsten Gillibrand. I would be happy with Amy Klobuchar. I would be happy with Elizabeth Warren. I would be happy with Kamala Harris. They are all amazing. Would I vote for a male candidate if they were the nominee? Of course. Of course I would. I'm not an idiot. But all I want is to stop focusing so much on how popular Pete Buttigieg is. I get it. He's popular. He's a nice guy. He's gay. And I love that. I do love that. But what I don't love is that we're ignoring the women, as we've always ignored women. Our history books are filled with history written by white men, for white men, about white men. And I can sound like an angry feminist right now, and it's because I am. I am. I'm angry because we don't know the history of women. We don't know the history of people of color other than the history the white men have written about us, which they think with the information they think we need to know. Can we stop just focusing on white men? It's really all I'm asking. And I'm not against white men. I just want to learn more about other people too. Can we focus on women? For once, it would be great. And on that note, thank you so much for tuning in, and I will catch you later. Tune in next time. This is the Sarah Wood Variety Hour. That's not really an hour, but we can pretend that that's not actually a thing. And I'll get mansplained that it's not an hour, but you know, whatever. I don't care. Bow, bow, bow.